I don't really understand how it works.
I don't remember what's about.
Whatever, keep it twice.
You lost me. What are you doing when you're trying to keep it anyway? I'm saying hello, I guess.
We have a flag.
And you don't say talking.
What?
We have a flag and have a barbecue.
Oh, then don't say talking. Definitely not say talking twice.
After
whatever, you know, Hasidim, they didn't say talking for the past week, right? Hasidim don't say talking during the week of Hod.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't
know
why they do this. They skip talking.
All of Hod.
Like a sphere, a whole.
For the week of Hod. They don't say talking.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great. Why not for like
Malchus? Well, I know. If you're a chassid, you understand. They don't say tachlis on a lot of days. It's really cool. On the 16th and 17th, from the 11th through 17th of Adar, I'm sure you know they don't say tachlis. Because the 11th through 13th, you could read Megillah earlier, right? Megillah Nikra, Beit Aleph, Beit Beis, etc. And the 14th and 15th are Mamashper. And the Gemara in the beginning of Megillah is a Hab, meaning you could read the Megillah on the 16th and 17th, if not for the possible Yavar. So there's a Havim to read Megillah,
so
then... Right.
Really?
Right. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I think all Hasidim never say Havim. Oh, I think, I don't know. Some Unorthodox schools also. I don't know. It's a little unclear. The Beis Yosef quotes from Nisengol, the Tachlins were Shos, so I guess you shouldn't get too upset at people. I don't know if everyone agrees, but... You know, he doesn't specifically quote anyone who disagrees, but I would imagine that people who... bring down the halacha say tachlin and don't say it's rishus. They disagree. They just didn't bother to, you know, say it's not a rishus. It was a riot from Shas, from the story, and the famous story in the fourth parak of Avodah Zarah of Tana Shel Hachmei Ayin Shem. Okay, Vayikra. Where are we up to? Ah, yes. Siv Zayin. Siman Shin Yudalet Siv Zayin. We have to finish up a little more of Siman Shin Yudalet. So. So very interesting halachas here. Chosmo shebekelim. I'm sorry. Chosmo shebekelim. Don't see the table. Migdal shakishol and kosher and mechavel yochel atira lachat for the sakim and lahatrik liyaso. Seals of kelim, as opposed to we'll see of land-based structures. Right, we know there's no steer of a kelim, and therefore, if you have a kli that's tied shut, like for example, some sort of chest or closet. That the cover is tied shut. You can untie it, which is not such a big deal. It's not breaking anything. You can even cut the ropes with a knife, or lahatar kliyaso. Again, I'm not sure practically exactly why this like would be an efficient way to do it, but you can even cut it with a knife, or untwist the rope. You know, sort of, if you untwist the rope, it'll fall apart somehow, or at least you'll be able to open it. Because there's no steer of bekelim. Now, it's a little tricky that Bir Halacha points out, a little late at the end of this sif, that whether the Gemara actually meant to say you could untwist the rope or not is seemingly a machlokas. Rashi and Torah say you could untwist the rope. The Rambam seems to hold that untwisting a rope is a problem of matir. It's like untying a knot, and therefore a mistumba, and obviously, like untying a kesher shel kayama, right, is twisted forever. When they twist their rope, you know, by twisting fibers, that's forever. So he says that according to the Rambam, maybe you shouldn't really untwist the rope. Maybe it just means you should tear the rope, because the word is mafkia. So Rashi and Torah say you need to untwist the rope. The Rambam says, no. Mafkia, you untwist the rope. That's a separate av malacha. That's considered matir. So maybe the Rambam would say you can only cut the rope or tear the rope. Okay, well, so we don't untwist ropes nowadays anyway. But you could break the rope, tear it, cut it, whatever you want, because no steer became him. But the davka, we'll see this in Machlokas, but let's say he says it first, only, when is there no steer became him? If it's like a tied rope or something flimsy. But if it's a real lock made of wood or metal, right, you have a chest in those days, nowadays, too, even nowadays, chests have real locks made of nowadays metal, sometimes wood in the old days, and to break that, is a real shvira. You're really breaking a strong kli. I mean, it's a serious lock. You know, take a hammer and start smashing it into a million pieces. That we wouldn't allow, because that's real steer of a kelim. And we are, Tosfos Paskins, as we know, that in real steer, even bekelim is usher. You have a kelim nami shaykh bin yigam or steer gemura. What we just said. Umitamzeh, and therefore, now we'll come back to this. Umitamzeh, Also, let's see the first machlokas. There are two machlokas here. Mitam ze asur lahasir atzirim shekorin gunzish, right? Shachori atevos nevad hamavteach v'yesh matirin bizo. So that's why. What if you lose again? Why would anyone want to do these things? Lachori, they lost the key. Right? You don't break the lock if you have the key. So if you lost the key, you really need to get at what's inside. So you might take off the hinges, and then you can open it, I guess, from the other side of the lid. Right, the lid has a lock on one side and hinges on the other side. If you remove the hinges, like you take the hinges off of the, I assume it's going to take more strength. You take the hinges out, then you can open it from the other side. So that's usur because that's serious steer b'kalim. But yesh matirin. This is the machloket between Rabbeinu Peretz and the Rimi Kinon, probably really originally Shinon, perhaps, I don't know. Okay, the Rabbeinu Peretz and the Rimi Kinon. Rabbeinu Peretz makes a lot of sense. That's the first day. Of course, it's also that's real steer of a kaling. Your mom's taking apart a strong, heavy, locked chest. Who gives you smash the lock or you take up hinges? What's the svar of the Rimi Kinon? So, sorry. So the so he says it's not a real stira because you're not breaking anything. Because when you take out the hinges, apparently the hinges were just driven in. Let's say, we'll see some more clear. Maybe they were nailed in, or like there were spikes that kept them nailed in. So when you take off the hinges, you haven't broken anything. You know, it's like if you take a nail out of a hole. You didn't break anything. The nail's the same nail. The hole's the same hole. Right? It just, they're not attached anymore. So he says, that's not stira. I assume he's only talking about Caleb here. Right? I assume he wouldn't say that about Karka. He says, that's not stira if you didn't break anything.
Does this relate to the machlokas we learned earlier about using a screw? Like a screw is considered takua?
Well, a screw is actually a little different. So I'm assuming it wasn't a screw here. Because if you take out a... You mean if you unscrew a screw? If you unscrew a screw. Okay, I don't think so. Because
meaning it's Asr still.
Because I think that he would be matter even if it was for short term. Well, I shouldn't say that. I don't think so because we'll see what he's arguing about, but it's not specific to screws because he's arguing much more generally.
Is the reverse true by
Ibn Ah, that's exactly what bothers all the Mefarshim here, right? So again, Rabbeinu Peretz makes sense. The Rikinon has a chiddush. I'm sure it's only in Caleb. That to break something without breaking it is not called stira. If you don't break any pieces, then that's not stira. Now, the obvious question is, David just sort of posed it as a question. Stira we generally look at as the mirror image of bone. And what if you, what would be sort of the opposite of taking something apart without breaking anything? Would be?
Putting it together without.
What do we call when you put things together really tight without necessarily breaking or changing them?
Assembly.
That's called tkiah, no? Right, isn't tkiah mean you stick something into a hole someplace else? Now, tkiah could be sometimes changing the actual physical tzura, but one of the types of tkiah is that you pound the wood into the hole, right? That would be tkiah. What if taka, imagine, I would take a nail and nail it into a pre-existing hole. Of course that would be tkiah. So that's what bothers the Mefarshim here. Well, how could the Rikinon think this? It's the opposite of tkiah. And we know tkiah is binyan, even in Kalim, so on tkiah should be soser. So that's what, sorry. Oh, that's what bothers everyone. So the Taz here, the long Taz, has an arichas about this. And the Taz seems to assume that we're dealing with a case when it's not takua. We're not like taking out takua nails of the hinge. We're somehow taking the door off the hinge when it was attached on the hinge, but it wasn't mamish takua. And the opposite of that would taka not be malacha. So that's what he assumes this pshat in the Rikinon. So he just holds that, you know, we don't exactly know what the metzias is here, but he assumes they're dealing with metzias where it's enachan if it was tkiya, and chanani. We're dealing with metzias where it's not tkiya, and therefore you can take it off because it's not takua.
So then why is it in parrot say it's
And, one second. Problem. Why does Ravina Peretz say it's a problem? Who does Ravina Peretz? So he assumes that, right, he doesn't totally explain himself. Why does Ravina Peretz assumes that it's Binyan Gomer? I'm not 100% sure how he understands Machlokas. So I think if you're Madaik and his Lashon Sufkat and Ches, that he reads when he hurts it saying Zereshem Yitka Lo Koyal Sima Sir Mel Shi Yitka Vachozek Ba'od. Maybe they're arguing about like the boundaries, the border, where to draw the line of Tekiah. Maybe that's good for the Machlokas. Ravina Peretz considers this Tekiah, and the Rikinon doesn't consider this Tekiah. I think that's, you know, he doesn't attack in exactly the same way. I think this is what he's trying to say, because when he explains the Rikinon, he says, nah, Sima Sirim is not Tekiah. Only a really hard Tekiah is Tekiah. Seemingly, Ravina Peretz holds Sima Sirim is Tekiah. So I think that the way he reads Ravina Peretz is that this is not on the level of Tekiah, and it wouldn't be Bonad, it wouldn't be Sosa. Now, it might still be usher to put it back with Hashi. It's like, Zeyur Misham Tekiah, but on the Dereisa level, it's not Bon, it's not Sosa, it's not Tekiah. Well, Ravina Peretz would think it is Tekiah, and that's good for the Machlokas, this Tekiah or not. The Magen Avraham says a little differently, The Magen Avraham says that Tekiah is only bona, is not automatically bona. Tekiah is only binyan if you're making a kli. But if the tekiah is not making a kli, it's not binyan. So let's say I would have a kli and I would just be tokea some extra piece onto it. That wouldn't be binyan. So in this case, the chest is a kli with or without the lid. Right? Everyone knows a chest is a kli, even if it doesn't have a lid. The lid is optional. Therefore, tekiah of a lid is automatically not bona. Now, it might or might not be Malkum Pater, so we don't need to know right now. But tekiah, even though the Shulchan Aruch paskin that tekiah is binyan, that's only if it's forming a kli. Since this tekiah, putting on the lid, is not forming a kli, it's just improving a kli, that's not bona. I assume he'd admit it's Malkum Pater. Yeah, that's what he says at the end. It might be Makab Apatish, but it's not. Excuse me. It might be Makab Apatish, but it's not bonus. So that's two answers. If we assume, like the Machaber quoted from the Rambam at the end of Siman Shin Yud Gimel, that Tekiah of Kalim is bona, then why isn't? How can the Riki note of the Chutzpah say that taking something out is not bona? So either like the Taz, he considers this below the level of Tekiah, and they argue that what's called tekiah, or like the Magen Avraham, tekiah is only bona al tanai that you're making something. But if you're just improving something, then tekiah is makib patish, but it's not bona. And if tekiah is makib patish, the opposite of makib patish is not malacha. Only the opposite of bona is malacha, right? That's the main afkamim to be bona makib patish, is that doing anything that's the opposite of bona is a malacha of sosir. Doing anything that's the opposite of makib patish is not an isser at all. No isser is do the opposite of makib patish. Okay, that's the... That's the first machlokas here, yes.
So the hinges that cover the lid?
The hinges that attach the lid to the chest, right? You have a chest, and you have a lid. On one side it's hinged, on the other side it's locked, right? You close it and lock it. If you lose the key, then the lock is too hard to break, but it has like an Achilles heel in the back, you can take out the hinges. Right, that's the metzius he's dealing with here. Because you can't break the lock. Because breaking the lock would be mamish sosa for Caleb. But you can take out the hinges because that's not the level of sosa. Why not? Either because it's not the opposite of tekiah, it's the opposite of something less than tekiah, taz, or because it is the opposite of tekiah, but not every tekiah is bona. Only tekiahs that make things are bona. Tekiahs that improve things are merely makav patish, which has no nafkamina between bona and makav patish if you do it, but if you undo it, it's the most tremendous nafkamina in the world.
Does it make a difference if the breaking of the lock would be only the lock itself and not the kli?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's an important part of the kli, and it's...
Even though it's nifra, it's really not.
But you're, it is a, it itself is a serious kli. A lock is a real thing. It's serious stuff. It's not like a rope. Okay, now let's do the second machlokas. Ushviras posachas shel kevos. He said earlier, it's a little funny that Taz is like, you know, has a little trouble dealing with the lashon of the mechaber. And the answer is the lashon of the mechaber is funny. What can I do? But he just said something was awesome. Now he says machlokas. And I don't have any fancy explanation for why he said it in such a strange way. You know, I think most achronim say, I'm sure there are many fancy explanations, that it's just okay, he expressed himself funny. First he said, breaking a lock is osir, because so sir b'kelim. And then he says, yesh matir yesh osir. Some people are matir, some people aseret. The Rosh, the Tosus, and the Mordechai are the ones of aseret. The Rabbi Eliezer, I assume the Reim, and the Ozeruah are the ones who are matir. So it's a machlokes. So what is the machlokes? Why do some people say it's mutter to break the lock, some people say osir? Anyone? So, the Mishnah and the Gemara explain, I think, very nicely here, that this is not a new machlokes, this is just the same old machlokes about binyan of stir bekelim that we had in Sif Aleph, although in Sif Aleph only one day it was represented in the Shulchan Aruch. Right? Some people say, like Tosas, there is stir bekelim if you break a strong kli. Other people say, like Rashi, there's never stir bekelim. So they assume that this is not a special machlokes about breaking locks. This is a general folks, and they would argue the exact same way about breaking a strong barrel or breaking this desk. That the first day of the Osrim are like Tosos to say, Yesh Tir Gemur Bekalim, like the Machaber said above. Then he's just pointing out that, however, there are some people, the Machaber himself doesn't prefer their Shita. There are some people like Rashi here, the Rabbi Eliezer Mimetz, and the Orzavrua, who say there's no Stir Bekalim at all, you can even break a strong kli. And he gives a Hachra, what's the Hachra? Yesh Lahato Yen Yehudi. He is, this Hachra comes from a smack. We are basically machmer. We assume you should not break a strong plea, because maybe like Tosos, that yesh tivar demura b'kelim. However, since it's a machlokes, we can be mekel al yedei, we can be mekel al yedei akam. The Mishabura quotes, the Magen Avraham, quoting the Yamshel Shlomo, says, you know, the akam is not so pashut to be mekel. So he says you should only make all the akum if you really need to. Not just stam aside. Only if it's important. Okay. This probably comes up all the time. And again, we try not to break things just because then they're broken and we can't use them anymore. But every once in a while, you have something really important stuck someplace. And the only way to get it out is to break the kli. So, and if it's a kli gummer, it's not just cutting a rope or breaking a mustaki, but it's a kli gummer, and there's a problem of steer b'kalim. You know, it's not just a wrapper. You can say like Kosel Shultz Marmas, so I'm saying like a real chest or a closet or something like that. then that's a real Stir Gemur B'Kalim. Halach L'maisa is you can only be make Aliyah Akum, and even that only if it's like a hefzid or an important mitzvah or some good reason. Not just time you want to play a game that's inside. Okay, although we'd like to assume that responsible people wouldn't break valuable property for no good reason anyway. But Luyutsu, you were very rich, then still. You should only do all the Inyuhudi for a very good reason. Okay, any other questions about that? The Tess. Yeah. No, because drains and toilets are totally different Inyan, because that's Mechobar L'Karka. So it's much more... we haven't even touched real Binyan. By real, I don't mean that it's the only thing which you can be chayav on, but the classic definition of binyan, it like pops off its head every once in a while. But real binyan is, of course, in Mechobar L'Karka. And that's much more chamar. I don't know if Mishabur said this, but I think it's possible. The Riki, no, would never be mekel by real, by Karka. And this Rabbi Eliezer, Mimitz, there was a rule, would never be, no one would have any kulas by Karka. So by Karka, there's no kulas at all. Are there kulas? Okay, we'll have to see. Now, test. Chas, we already did. Motlaf, Kivalachto, Keshri, Ashvud, Shekoshim, Betlel, Ba'oth, Hatzluyim, not many kedushim here if you have. In those days, when they would talk, how would they get the meat on the spit? What if it was like a little soft or it was like cracked? You don't want to fall to the fire, then it will burn. So you tied it on. Nowadays, you know, sometimes the roasts, they're still tied to keep it together. You ever see like the roast is tied with the rope? So he says, no problem, you can cut that rope, right? As we know, right, it's talush, right? It's like chosmos, shebekelim, they're a rope. So for sure, in talush, cutting a rope, that's no big deal at all. You're certainly allowed to break weak things that are kelim. Yud, chosmos shebekarka. However, here we see the contrast already. Chosmos shebekarka, what if the something is sealed and it's being attached to the ground. Like, for example, there'd be a door of the pit that's tied with a rope. You can untie the rope. Because you're allowed to tie and untie temporary knots. We're not going to go into all the details now. there's a whole simon about it. I think it's not too far away from where we are now. Yeah, should be Zion. So you're allowed to untie temporary knots. The Shabur goes into here. That means if you're not planning on opening it like once a Shabbos or something, it doesn't mean if you tied it for a year that's a temporary knot. But assuming that it's a temporary knot, then you're allowed to untie it. Because that's not breaking anything. There's no shiloh binyan associated for untying. That's just a shiloh of matter, and you can be matter, a temporary knot. I use the machine Zion for exactly where to draw the line. But you're not allowed to cut it, break it, rip it, unwind it. You're not allowed to do any actual destruction of the ropes, even though it's just a flimsy rope, because in karka there's stira, even in a flimsy thing, because yesh bin yesh stira bekarka, no matter how flimsy. V'davka, however, there's one condition. The truth is that, you know, the Bir Halacha does bring down, I don't mean to exaggerate, he brings him a chalok shoshone, if this is such a flimsy stira, is it daraisa, or only asa yidrabanan? Right, there might be a limit. Even in karka, a really flimsy stira might be derabanan. But either way, it's usher. Lemaisa, it's usher to break anything attached to the karka, even if it's flimsy, because yesh stira be binyan mamish. But vidavka, however, here he brings the kula of the Mordechai. Vidavka she usher lekayim amnashul olosir b'shabbos. That even when it comes to karka, it's only usher to break something if it was made to at least last through Shabbos. Avalam einu usher lekayim klal. But if it wasn't even made to last through Shabbos, it was made to be broken on Shabbos. Then mutter, if it's so temporary that it was even intended to be broken on Shabbos, it's mutter. Umitamze mutter lahatar dashim simino solof neatanur v'shorken usobetet she'eno also ilakiyim. That's why in the old days, again, nowadays we have good ovens with gaskets and you close the door and it's sealed very well and it keeps all the heat in. But in the old days, the ovens weren't so advanced, so how would they keep the heat in? They would just put a little board on the opening of the oven and seal it with cement. And they would do that like every Shabbos. It was not considered a big deal in their days. So, well, they would put the staff in the oven, right, not for the Friday night food, for the Shabbos morning food, right? They wanted to do atmana, leave the Shabbos morning food in the oven. So they put a board on the opening of the oven, and cement it closed, and the oven was attached to the ground. So, that would be attached to the ground. Breaking that daf would be a stira. So you might think it was also, but the Mordechai comes tells you a chiddush. No. Anything which is so temporary that it's not even for the whole Shabbos, that it's even less than one day, you weren't even going to leave it there for one day, you intended all along to take it down, that is considered not binyan at all, and there's no problem of stira.
Is there ever a problem if you cut ropes in Korea? I don't know.
Cutting ropes is not a problem with Korea, no. Cutting ropes is not considered Korea. Why not? Because, even though, what's the word they use? Because they're not, at least I think cutting ropes is not a problem with Korea, because they're not a fabric. They're not like a sheet of something. Korea has to be a sheet, not just a thread. Because it's like cutting a thread in half. I don't think that's Korea. I think Korea has to be a sheet that you can actually slice in half. It has to have like two dimensions. So in a rope, I mean, technically it does, but Lamaisa, you know, it's like just a one-dimensional thing. Now, so that's an important heter. If something's made super, super, super temporarily, then it's no problem at all. We still have this little discussion of Lego. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, you know, built a big thing out of this when he said any binyan that you do for less than 24 hours is not binyan, any stira is not stira. You know, he made a general heter out of this, that anything for less than 24 hours is automatically mutter, right? We had that on the board sometime when we did Lego. That's not such a pashut idea. Because it could be that this is what the Mordechai means to say. Anything less than 24 hours is just heter, gomer, build, destroy, whatever you want. That's how the Shulchan Aruch Rav understood it, that we learned in Simin Shin Yud Gimel. However, it's not so kosher because Beis Yosef here quotes in the Trumas Hadeshen that the kula is only by the daf of the oven. Why? Because the daf of the oven, there's two kinds of sosir. There's really demolishing, and then there's just disattaching. Real demolishing means you break it. When you take the daf of the oven, you're not breaking it. Adrav, you're fixing the oven. It's supposed to have an opening to get things in and out. You're just disattaching, right? There's two levels of sosir. There's authentic breakage. You actually take something apart and it's not usable anymore. And then there's, you're actually not breaking it at all, but you're technically like breaking a piece off a piece. So he says it could be the Trumas Hadeshen's kula is because it's not real stira. It's just like disattaching something, which is only an issur d'rabbanan. And therefore, since it's only an issur d'rabbanan, we're makel if it was a temporary thing for less than 24 hours. But maybe we wouldn't be makel on, you know, a binyan gomer that's for less than 24 hours. So how far to take this Mordechai, this kula, you could definitely take it. Just take apart something that was like temporarily attached that wasn't an essential part that was there for less than 24 hours, like that case. But whether you can use this, let's say someone mamish built a house for 23 hours, are you allowed to take that apart? Is not so pashut. Shulchan Aruch would say, yes, you're allowed to build it and take it apart. But it's not so pashut. The Trumas Hadeshen would say, no, this is only because it's not an authentic binyan and stira. That's because it's not an authentic stira d'oraisa. I'm not sure if there's a lot of... other than when you get back to the toys, I don't know if we really have this a lot nowadays that, you know, we like cement things in for less than 24 hours. Not as common. The Yud Aleph. Okay, so Yud Aleph is, well, partly about our Inyan, partly about a different malacha. Asr litein shava oshem and ov b'nekev achavis lisat mol meshehu mima reyach. That is a Gemara. There are two different Gemaras that put it together in Daf Kuf Mem Vav. Aval b'shardvam the less b'mishum meruach mutter. Right, so this is an implication. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to plug a hole in the barrel with wax or with thick oil. Now again, thick oil is, I'm not sure exactly, we probably don't have that anymore nowadays. I mean, thick oil, I mean, as thick as an oil we can imagine, you can't plug a hole with it. Right? So obviously when they thick oil, they meant congealed oil. Right? Not just like thick. They meant congealed oil. What?
Like margarine?
Like margarine or something, or like, you know, when you leave something in the fridge and the fat all congeals. Although it's probably even a little harder than that if they can plug up a barrel with it. So I don't know exactly what margarine is, because margarine probably has a lot of ingredients and they have a fancy way of making it, so I'm not sure. But lemaisa, it's some sort of thick congealed oil, or wax, you're not allowed to use to plug a hole because of a totally separate problem. Mimareach. Mimareach is a lot of mimachik. Mimachik means when you smooth something, like if you polish silver, that's mimachik. You know, if you polish it like real polish, you know, with actual polish, that's mamachik. Or if you smooth or sand things, that's mamachik. Mimarea, you're not sanding something. It's a tolada, but it's still an ishid araisa. The avmalacha is when you take a hard thing and you sand it down, which I think includes polishing silver, because I think that's what polishing does. Right? Is anyone, any scientists here? When you polish something, what you're really doing is you're taking off like a little layer to make it smooth. Is that true?
Yes.
What?
You polish.
Silver polish. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure. I guess then if you polish it enough times, it would disappear. I don't know if that happens. Okay, it's okay. Lemaisa, certainly sanding something is classic mamachik. They used to scrape the leather. A toloda mamachik called memareach is if you have a pliable thing like wax and you smooth it out into a smooth surface. It's a toloda because it's not scraping off from a hard thing. It's not scraping off. You're not scraping anything off. You're just smoothing it itself, but it's still an issur d'oraisa. So, obviously, when you plug in a hole, you generally, what do? You make it smooth. And that would be an issur d'oraisa. And even though shemen, there are some things that are a bar miruach d'oraisa, things that are very thick. Some things that are not so thick, that don't really, I guess, keep their shape very well, that are only a miruach d'rabbanan, that's shemen of. Thick oil is just, because it might be confused or lead to wax. Right, there are really hard things, there are miruach d'oraisa, there are less hard things, which are miruach d'rabbanan, but nonetheless, either way, it's usher to plug a hole with something which is smoothable, lest you come to do Merareach to smooth it. Again, there's Merareach, okay, big Indian nowadays, but not for now. But what comes out of this? So yeah, out of this singing of Kuf Mevav, it sounds like, let's say it wasn't Meruach, it would be mutter to plug a hole in a barrel, right? However, there's another Gemara, which is in Daf Kuf, which is really a story, Daf Kuf Lamites. There's a story of a certain, I forget his name, maybe you remember, but there was a one of the Amoraim who did two things which were a trick, which were Harama. Now, we should be clear what Harama means. Harama doesn't mean an honest trick. An honest trick is not called Harama. Like, for example, if I wanted to, for some reason I wanted to cook something on Yom Tov, so I decided I would eat it. And I ate it and I enjoyed it. Then that's not harama. I really did what I said I was going to do, even though I did a shalul l'shma. Shalul l'shma isn't harama, right? Mechiras chametz is not a harama. I really am selling the chametz, even though I'm selling it for a weird reason. That's not harama. Harama doesn't mean I do a trick and I really do it. That's not harama. That's called I don't know what the word for it is, but that's like mechiras chametz is not a harama. I really am selling the chametz, even though I'm only doing it for a halachic reason. Harama means I say I'm doing something, and I'm lying. I'm pashut lying. Harama would be, for example, this this guy, he would do two things. One thing is he would take garlic, head of garlic, stick it in the hole of his barrel, and say, I just need someplace to store my garlic. But he was lying. He really just needed to plug the barrel. So that's like what we really mean by harama, right? Total dishonesty. So, excuse me, sorry. So that's a harama. He said he needed something to store his garlic, but he really didn't need to store his garlic at all. He just needed to plug up the barrel. So what did the Gemara say? The Gemara say, oh, it's harama. The Gemara seems to comment on this line. It's harama, and Yisrud Rabbanan is mutter for a Talmud Chacham. The assumption is, for a regular person, they do harama, they'll come to do the Yisrud, even Shalom Der harama, and then they'll come to all the bad things that it was Xerah for. But a Talmud Chacham, he does it Der harama, like he'll remember to be very, very careful and not to to come to whatever the Xavier is for, right? Let's say the Xavier is sticking, you can't stick garlic in the barrel lest you plug it up with wood. You know, so a regular person might say, oh, I'm sticking the barrel of garlic to store it there, and then come to say, oh, I'm plugging the barrel, I'm going to stick it with wood. A Talmud Chacham will remember, since I have to, like, pretend I'm storing it there, he'll be sophisticated enough to know that he's not allowed to, that he won't go the next step and plug it up with wood. That's in general. The Talmud Chacham can keep these subtle distinctions in mind, and the Harama will remind him of the subtle distinction, and Amaretz will not be able to keep the subtle distinction in mind. And he'll just go from plugging with garlic to plugging with wood. Lemaisa, though, what comes out of this Gemara and Daf Kuf Lamites, your 7-blot earlier, that it's also to plug up a barrel with anything, except garlic for a Talmud Chacham if he says he needs to store his garlic somewhere. Okay, says the Stira, on Daf Kuf Lamites says, You're allowed to plug it with anything. It implies two implications. Kuf Mevav implies you're allowed to plug it up with anything but wax and congealed oil. Daf Kuf Lamites implies you're not allowed to plug it up with anything, even garlic, unless you're a Talmud Chacham who knows how to do a harama. So what's Pshat? How many answers are there? Yeah, there are actually three, but how many answers, like, the Poskim take seriously? Give you a clue, less than three? More than one? What?
Yeah.
Two. Okay. So there are two answers. What is the Mechaber's answer? The Mechaber takes an answer that he gets from the Torah. Let's read the Mechaber now. Also, Litain Shavu Shemen of Benek of Achavas Lasot, Mop Neshu Memareach. Of Al Bashargon, the Lesmi Shumay Ruach, Hoa Ve'ina Yain Yotze Az Mutter. When is it Mutter to use anything but things that are smoothable when the wine's not leaking? Through the hole. But if the wine was leaking through the hole, then it's also to close it up with anything. You're not even allowed to do a harama and put garlic and say, I need to store my garlic. Unless you're a Talmud Chacham, then you could do the harama. So basically, the Gemara don't say anything about this. The Beis Yosef understands from the Torah that it's a way to answer the kasha. There's a steer between two Gemaras. What do we do? So the answer is, if it's not leaking, then you can plug it up with anything. But if it is leaking, then you cannot. Excuse me, I'm sorry. But if it is leaking, then it looks more like binyan because you see that it's leaking. And you really need to fix it up, and it looks more binyan-like. So then there's an iskur banan to plug it up with anything except for harama of a tamakacha. That's the base. That's the machaber shita. However, all the achronim prefer the Magen Mishnah's answer. He has a different answer to the Stira. The Magen Avraham, the Taz, and the Shabur, they all paskin like the Magen Mishnah's answer. The Magen Mishnah gave a different answer. He said there are two ways of closing up a hole. You can plug inside the hole, and you can patch on top of the hole, outside the hole. Right? If, again, if here's the hole in my barrel, right, I could stick things inside the hole to plug it up, or I could just put a patch outside the hole, but the hole's still there, it's just outside the hole. So the Magen Mishnah says, and this is how all the Achronim Paskin, they all prefer his answer, he says the two sugyot are dealing with two different realities. Sugyot Daf Kuf Mem Vav is dealing with putting something on top of the hole, but not inside. So that's not a problem of Voner or Makir Patish, because you're not actually plugging the hole. You're just blocking it from the outside. That's so that's mutter to do with anything, except things that you smooth. However, the Gemara Daf Kuf Lamed Tes is talking about putting something inside the hole. Inside the hole, your mom is building the barrel. That's a real isser. That's boner, makir patish. Your mom is building the barrel. That is also to do with anything. The only thing that's mutter to do is with garlic, because garlic is such a weird way that it's only drop on. And if you add to it the harama that you say you're just keeping it there, and if you're also a Talmud Chacham, three factors combined, you use garlic to bring it down to a drabanan, you do a harama and your Talmud Chacham, that's the only way it's mutter, and that's how we paskin. So again, if you want to plug up a hole, if you want to plug it up from the outside without actually plugging it, you know, you're not plugging it, you're just blocking the hole, covering the hole, that's what I'll call it. Covering the hole is mutter, unless you do it's something which might lead to merareach. Right? Like something which you might accidentally do merareach, or is similar to something you might do merareach. However, if you want to plug inside the hole, that's also, that's fixing the barrel. It's only mutter under these very, very weird circumstances. And even that is controversial, because the Magen Avraham says, nowadays, we don't have a Talmud Chacham. Nowadays, no one's on the Madriga of a Talmud Chacham, b'zman hazeh. We're all Amaratzim compared to what a real Talmud Chacham means. So that's the whole debate. The Magen Avraham says we could still be Mekel, because the Rambam assumes anyone's allowed to do this Harama, so maybe we can be Mekel that at least our Talmidei Chachamim can do the Harama. The Mishnah Berurah in the end says, well, only in a Shas of Chak, or the Mishnah Berurah quotes some people argue, some like it's a Machlokas, whether nowadays a Talmud Chacham could use this Kula or not. But in any case, it's a very strange Kula that most people probably wouldn't do most of the time. One last thing is, however, the Magen Avraham quotes from the Bedek Habayis. What's the Bedek Habayis? Not the Hasagas on the side of the Rashba's Torah Habayis. What Bedek Habayis is he quoting here? I think he's quoting the Bedek Habayis. Right. Means the notes of the Beis Yosef added in later after he finished the Beis Yosef and he reviewed it. That's a funny print of the Beis Yosef that says, like, Bey, Dalet, Hey, Beis, or depending on which edition you have. That just means that the Beis Yosef notes he made when he chazard and added in Ha'oros to the Beis Yosef. So he quotes the Bedek Habayis, who says, however, you're allowed to stop it up with, it's not exactly clear what he means, with things you're supposed to stop up holes with. What kind of heter is that? What he means is, you're allowed to stop it up with things that you use to temporarily close up holes. Because if it's just like something you use like to temporarily close it up, like a bottle cap or something, I mean, a bottle cap wouldn't work on the side, then that's for sure not fixing the barrel, it just goes in and out. So, for example, why are you allowed to put, and here, David, I'll even talk about Mechubar, why are you allowed to put the stopper in the sink? It's closing up the hole. So, you know, because that goes in, that goes out, that's not fixing the sink. So, likewise here, if you use something which is commonly put in and out of the barrel as a way of opening and closing the barrel, that's not considered bona. It's only bona if you're actually trying to fix it up with some material. Okay. The last thing we have here is your Beis, which has one. Yeah, sorry, Zev.
Question. The Magen Avraham mentioned that nowadays no more such thing as a Talmud Chacham.
Yeah, you should know in every area of halacha the notes that Kalim deal with. Like, well, nowadays maybe we don't have a Talmud Chacham. How about for this din do we have a Talmud Chacham? For that din do we have a Talmud Chacham? Every din, they look at it a little differently sometimes, what the status of our Talmud Chacham is nowadays.
It's only using the Bashan, it's not the whole area of Haram. The Magen Avraham mentioned that. He also mentions it by the case of the Sfina.
Yeah.
Just these areas.
Meaning the Magen Avraham's psak is in this particular case, but you have to ask the question about every case, but it might not always be the same answer. Yes?
Haven't the Machaber explained the difference between
the two? He says it. If there's no wine leaking out of the hole now, let's say the hole's on top or the wine got below the hole, then you're allowed to stop it up because it doesn't look like fixing. So that's not like obvious fixing. But if the wine is leaking now, then it looks more like fixing, and that's when it's usher. But they said that's not, they didn't like the Achronim didn't like that shot so much. They wanted something a little more fundamental, like the Mahinagim Mishu just says no. There's fixing and there's covering. That's what the Achronim paskin. Okay, the last sif here is your days, which we already analyzed. This is the Chumash Adeshin. Sakin shu tachav bekotzer shel eitzim yod yom also lotzi of a Shabbos came in shu davar mechuber. Right, if it's stuck in the wall, remember the Achronim they agreed with this. Sock, although they question why do you say sick rishon lom nicholay and it's a kalkel this and that, but lamaisa we're machmir. If a knife is in a wall, right, mechuber lekarka, you're not allowed to take it out on Shabbos because it's a psikoresha that you widen the hole and that's drilling, and drilling is an iser daraisa of bone, drilling in something attached to the ground. That's a I think it's a mishnah, and we it's machlokas whether it's which malach it is, but we pass in bone dafkav beis and beis. Aval, I'm sorry, we're talking about Safsum came called the Ritolish, but don't see you. But it's in the Dabar Tolish, if it's just stuck in the chair or the bench, then it's a mutter. Because even though you might be widening the hole, that's no problem because it's not Mechaber Lekarka. And again, the Machlokas was what about a barrel? Machlokas Mechaber Ramah. Because in a barrel, it's a Pesach. But in a bench, it's not a Pesach. It's not an opening. You can't go put anything through there. It's just a hole. This doesn't mean a hole and an opening. So in a barrel, you have an opening. That is exactly what the Darkei Moshe Chaps, he said, that's much more machir. But over here, with a wall and the bench, we're just talking about a stam hole. Like, it's something, you have a hole in something. A hole in something is not perfecting it. It's not an opening. It's just, it's a mum. It's got a hole in it. So to make a hole in karka is drilling as a way of building. Therefore, it's always usser. But to make a hole in, to accidentally widen this hole in kalim is not usser. That's how we paskin. The Ramah just adds, "Vim dasha zatz v'shalchem yom afilu bekotel shari." This is based on the Gemara, the Shmuel Sedeshin, that it's only usur, even in karka, it's only usur if it's tigresha. But if you stuck it in once, took it out, and stuck it in again on Friday or any other previous day, then when you take it out the second time, it's only a davar shein miskavin. It's a suffix. It might or might not widen the hole. Okay, davar shein miskavin. It's mutter, even in any malacha. So then, of course, it's mutter. So if it's already stuck in twice, taking it out is always mutter. So davar shein miskavin of widening a hole, which is a form of drilling. But if it was only stuck in once and you're taking it out, it's a psikoresha you widen the hole. It's a psikoresha you widen the hole. And therefore, it's a psikoresha you widen the hole for karka, which is a real iser of kodeach. That's a problem. For kalim, which do not have the iser of drilling. Drilling is not an automatic malach in kalim. I mean, unless somehow that's the way to build that plea. But if you're just taking out a knife, then that's not usher, so you're allowed to do it.
Ramon told me that regarding bulletin boards and the things you can stick into, that he didn't think this would be a kula because the hole is never really widened, even if you stick it in before Shabbos, because if it were really widened, the pin wouldn't fit the next time. You're just putting it back into the same size hole, not that you expanded it beforehand.
I'm not sure that's what he... I'm not sure if that's what he meant. But let me just, let's say a few things, then we can come back to this. The Mishnah Berurah points out, Zabir Allah, we won't get into that but right now, the Mishnah Berurah points out that there's only a heter of dots of the shofa. The heter is only if you put it in, took it out, and put it back in, Nibo Yom. But if you just put it in and took it out, Nibo Yom. If you just put it in and took it out, then you can't put it back on Shabbos, because then it's a psikoresha of widening the hole. then it's a psikoresha of widening the hole. Now, there's one thing that's, let's see, what?
The Mishnah says if you put it in, remove it, and then put it back in.
So let's say, what did you do on Friday? I just stuck it in. Then, what do we have here? We have Mechuber, and we have Talush, right? Non-opening, non-Pesach, right? Just from a hole. That's also to remove. Mutter,
to remove.
Right? The what if you stuck it in? Sorry. Stuck in, removed, and stuck in. So then it's mutter to remove either way because it becomes on the level of Dovashin Miskabi. What the Shulchan Aruch doesn't discuss is what if you just stuck in and removed and now you want to stick it in again. So is that going to be a psik reisha of widening the hole or not? So here's what the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say, but the Mishnah Berurah says that's still together psik reisha. And therefore it's aser if it's mechover lekarka. One thing, so let's take for example bulletin boards. If you have a bulletin board that's mechover lekarka, right, which happens often, right, let's say the bulletin board, I tried the bulletin board in the base medrash. The base medrash bulletin board is attached to the wall. Right, most folks can assume if you have like a picture, you know how pictures hang on the wall? That's not considered mechover lekarka if it's just hanging from a string on a nail. It's not attached at all, it's just hanging there. But bulletin boards are usually, because usually they want to be a little sturdier, they're not just like hanging like a picture on the wall. They're rather screwed into the wall so that they're tightly attached. So a bulletin board that's on the, yeah? Right, so Lanias Daiti, there's hanging them on two nails. Lanias Daiti, I think, if you might have two nails on the wall, then you just take it and easily hang it on those two nails, that's not considered mechuber. And I think that's what Rabbi Miller, one of the things Rabbi Miller told Joe. But usually that's not always what they do with bulletin board, because they're afraid that since, unlike a picture, people touch it all the time and it would get knocked down. So usually what they do is they might have like two things, then they'll screw those two things in so that it's stuck by the screw. That's what you have in the base medrash. They get it in tightly. Usually bulletin boards are attached tightly just because people take in and take out so much that it would fall down if it wasn't attached tightly. So therefore the mechover lekarka. So if something's thumbtacked into the bulletin board, you're not allowed to take it out. And if someone put it in once and took it out, you're not allowed to even put it back in that same hole. Only if someone put it in, took it out, and then put it back, then you'd be allowed to remove it. But you'd have to keep track of every pushpin in the bulletin board to remember which is which, and it might be easier said than done. Now, I think what Ray Miller told you, the way I understood it is I thought, I'm not, what did Ray Miller tell you about bulletin boards?
Exactly what you said was, since the hole itself is meant to be small enough to still hold that pin, even after subsequent insertions.
You mean the holes close on their own with bulletin boards?
Yeah.
So maybe it should always be usher to stick
it
in.
Even if you stuck it in before shots and took
so
it out.
So maybe it would be usher to stick it in forever.
Exactly.
Although not necessarily take it out. But it might be usher, or maybe even. Maybe bulletin boards.
Okay. The Mishnah Berurah is describing it, wouldn't
okay. I'm a little misophic about that. I think it might depend on the circumstances, but okay. Yesh malai.
Wouldn't it be a heter gunner if it always goes back to the old position?
So the Rabbi Ribiat says there are those who want to tie it, doesn't put any names, that maybe bulletin boards which are meant to be temporary and in, out, and that's the way you use them, might not be shy after drilling at all. It's not drilling. That's what a bulletin board is. That's what a bulletin board's supposed to be. But he doesn't rely on that. I haven't seen people who rely on that. Well, mice, so you shouldn't use bulletin board in shops.
So bulletin board or just pushing wider the hole, whereas drilling is actually chipping away at the wood, it's just expanding a hole. Wouldn't that make a difference?
I understand what you're saying, but my gut feeling is that it wouldn't make a difference. Although, you know, if you brought me a post who said that it did, you know, I'd be mad at it.
About pushing it in harder. It's already stuck in, but can you just...
No, that's for sure enlarging the hole, right? You're deepening the hole. That's for sure.
Once it's in, it's in.
No, but it used to be a hole that was 3 millimeters deep. Now it's a hole that's 3.5 millimeters deep. That's kodeach koshu, I think. I don't know if you'd be mamash chayev for that.
Well,
but
is that really the case? I mean, aren't you just...
when you push it in tighter, you're making a deeper hole.
Maybe you're just... Because the material is such that it absorbs the nail that you're not actually making the hole bigger, you're just putting more of the pin inside a hole that's the same size.
I think that's against the laws of physics, but I'm not sure.
It's the core material.
Yeah. Again, Rabbi, it says, I'll read you what he says. I think it's on page 1037. But I could be wrong. Yeah. He said, however, there is some merit to the argument that cork backing is designed for regular pinning and detaching and can therefore be permitted. The fact that the holes in the cork material close up after each use might also be a factor. He says there's merit to this argument, meaning it's it's hard to know what to compare it to in Shas. Notwithstanding these considerations, one must adopt a stringent attitude on this question. And he says, notwithstanding, you have to be stringent. He says he's heard it from one of the poskeis of Anenu. He doesn't say who. I'm not sure exactly why. He's usually not secretive about things, but no.
Why is there no Kodach
in Talush? Why is there no Kodach in Talush? Because, I think, because Ein Binyan B'Kelem. I mean, now, if you actually build something, that's one thing. But if you just stomach a hole in something, that's not mamish building. So I think that's why there's no kodeach in Kelem. Now, here's where it's a little tricky. Because let me answer your question a little differently. One thing which was ambiguous to me, and I still don't know the answer to, but I'm sure you guys must have arrived from someplace, is not covered at all. What if you take it one step back? This is what was done before Shabbos. What if nothing was done before Shabbos and you want to stick it in for the first time? So here, obviously, not only us to remove, but probably Chayev, if you stick it, right? You could get Skila for doing that the first time in Mechav L'Karek. I mean, that's mamish the case where it says that you're Mechal Shabbos Doreis. So obviously no happening there. But what about here? What about sticking it in for the first time? In Talush. This is very nogea. Not so nogea for one case, but very nogea for another case. Number one, what if you have a Talush bulletin board? Right? What if it's just hanging loosely on the wall? Or what if it's on an easel? Or it's not. Your kids have a bulletin board they play with. I mean, I guess your kids probably shouldn't play with thumbtacks, but often they have bulletin boards on easels. Right? What if you have a Talush bulletin board? Are you allowed to stick something in for the first time on Shabbos? Or, what's much more nogea l'maisa, I think, other people have to fill me in on their wives and hug him, because it's not nogea to us. But you know how you put the shetel on that little, like, styrofoam head, right? You beheaded some poor styrofoam guy, and use it to keep your shetel? So what do you do if you want to do it properly? You pin the shetel into the styrofoam head. Now, when you pin the shetel into the styrofoam head, you're making a hole with the pin in the head. Right, I think. I mean, that's exactly the same thing. Obviously, Talish. So what about, do your wives use pins to keep the shape on the head, or they just put it on the headstone? What? No, I mean during the week.
Oh. Well, maybe
you don't know. It could be that maybe they only do that when you have to travel. I don't know. I'm not a bucky in shakels. But anyway, what if, but theoretically, I'm sure there are many people who do, could you pin the shape onto the head, or could you put a thumbtack for the first time into a bulletin board that's Talush on Shabbos? Now this is what? So this is a little unclear to me. So this is I asked Ray Miller, said he didn't know. So I looked around, I couldn't find like any good discussion of this. The Yesodei Halacha Sefer takes a davar pashut that it's mutar. He says, look, there's no problem. By Talush is not an issue. By Talush is not an issue. He's talking about the bulletin board. Rabbi Ribiat, I wouldn't say he takes it a double pashut, but he paskins that it's usser. It's a little unclear why, because first he starts with bulletin boards, and then he says, oh, that's usser because it's attached to the ground, so of course you're not allowed to stick and make a hole in it. Not only that, it might be considered adding to a building. Well, that's questionable. But he doesn't really deal with a Talush bulletin board. Then he says, sticking pins into a styrofoam wighead, based on what we explained earlier regarding cork boards, you shouldn't stick the pins into the wighead. You shouldn't stick the pigs in. Now, I don't know what he means, because in bulletin boards he was discussing mechaber. Okay, everyone knows that. Why shouldn't you stick the pigs into the wighead, which is Talush? He doesn't really explain. He doesn't go into this. Although one thing he does say, he says, maybe it's called takua, and maybe it's like takua on the wig head, and therefore it should be us or even in Kalim. That's so posh to me. That's really takua. And it's not just not so posh to me, that's takua. You're not fixing the wig, you're not completing the wig head. You know, is there an isser of like Tia and Kalim if you're not actually trying to like put things together, you're just trying to stick a shingle there? And how long do you leave it there for? And it's a little unclear to me what the logic is. I tried quite a number of times to be medayik in the Magen Avraham and Taz back in Sif Aleph, if I could figure out the answer to this, but they're quite they're quite complex, the discussion there, and it's hard to put your finger on it. So I don't know who's right and who's wrong here. Sorry for that. No, the Maisa, is it? The reason should be also is either maybe you could say when you're mamish making the hole, that's like fixing the kli somehow. Now, if you're just widening it or something, so there's no iser of kodeach stam. But if you're maybe mamish making the hole with some sort of improvement to the kli, you know, making the hole for the first time now makes it usable to stick this pin into. It's like a real improvement to the kli, or maybe if it's like tkiah. I don't know. So I'm not. I don't see it. I don't see this as like some sort of fixing the kli, and I don't know. But Lemaisa, I have to admit that there's one rabbi found who assers, one rabbi found who matters, and one rabbi who's not 1,000,000% sure. That's me. Okay. So you can vote on your own.
Put in the Magad Mishnah over here by Tikkun Kli, by Sigrisha, if it's.
No, because you whatever you're doing, you want to do. I mean, you dafka want this pin in the styrofoam, or you want the cork in the bulletin board. If it is a problem to have this be holed in, and that's considered like an important thing, then you exactly what you want. There's no accident here. It's not like all these other cases where it's an anomous cog and it's just a side effect. Every other case is a side effect. Yeah, it widens when I'm taking it out and I'm putting it in, which has nothing to do with what I'm thinking of here. If it's a problem to make a hole for the pin, or to attach the pin to the styrofoam, then that's exactly what you want to do. So that's not 100% clear to me. What? No, but if making the hole is a problem, you want the hole, because you want to keep the pin in there. And the hole is necessary to hold the pin.
Removing shirt pins and shavs is a great issue?
Removing shirt pins? You mean the pins that pin your shirt?
When you first buy it.
No, it's certainly not great. You're not tearing anything. You might. You're certainly not tearing anything.
I'm saying it might be
special Korea. Ah, you're not tearing Korea, but out sort of unsewing Korea. Right? If you consider the shirt pins to be a tfira, then maybe taking them out. But
why is it
tfira? What?
Put in.
Why is it tfira?
Nothing to do with that.
Yes. So
they use the pin to hold down like one piece of garment to another.
So it's not actually
temporary. It's
right. So first of all, some of them they're not even all like straight tfiros. It seems to be not such a permanent type of my intuition would be that it's mutter, but I'd have to actually look at the Shulchan Aruch to quote the chapter and verse.
Going back to the pinhead into the sheitel.
Mm-hmm. Does your wife have pins for her sheitel head?
We don't
no?
use that.
Okay.
We have the
big
king with the head, but we don't use
it. Okay.
We discussed the previous halacha, the nekev, the tzat and the goof.
No, so those are all a different class of nekev. That was when it goes through from the outside to the inside of a container. That's for sure a problem. When you go from the outside to the inside of a container, that's called a pesach. That's for sure a problem. Over here, there's no pesach.
We
you can't go in.
Cases.
What?
We said that in the case of nekev, rosh hachavis, nekev, rosh hachavis, that is mutter.
Only because it wasn't your intention to make a Pesach, it was just your intention to get out the wine.
I don't want to open anything. I want my sheitel to not fall off the shtick. I want my sheitel to not fall off.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's a little, I think it's a little, I think it's Pasha is probably more like the Yisodei Halacha. But I don't have a proof. But you're right, I think Pasha more like Yisodei Halacha. I don't have a proof. I know there must be a proof out there somewhere, but I haven't found it yet. So, but Pashtus and Echlami. Okay, now let's get to some Shin Tesvav. Okay, we're a little behind schedule, but that's okay.
Right through.
Okay, Shin Tesvav. Shin Tesvav, I think, again, I'm not saying it's trivial or easy, but it's more straightforward. Meaning, if you understand what's going on in the Shulchan Aruch, you understand what's going on in the Shulchan Aruch, you know these concepts that are very ambiguous, like you have in Shin Yud Gimel and Shin Yud Dalet sometimes. So it should hopefully be a very enjoyable and simple limud. Now, the principle here is we're talking about Ohel Arai. Right? This whole simon pretty much is talking about Ohel Arai. Making an Ohel on Shabbos, the Rambam says, is a tolda of bona. The Ibn Azal explains it's only a tolda because a real, real classic bona is to actually build a building. But an Ohel, which is a tent, is a tolad of bona, but it's still an ishtar. So if you make it Ohel kavua, let's say you're a Bedouin and you're putting up your tent, That would be an Issur D'Oraisa. Excuse me, I'm sorry. What about an Ol Arai? So an Ol Arai is only an Issur D'Rabbanan, Zera Atu Ol Kavua. That's what the... and the question is, what counts as an Ohel Arai? So, most of the cases in Shas where they talk about the problem of Ohel Arai, they're dealing with a roof. There are many sugyas in Shas where they would put up curtain partitions, curtains, like walls, on Shabbos, and no one seemed to be bothered. So, Rashi concluded from this that the Isser of Ohel Arai... the Isser of Ohel Arai is only to make a roof. Because as we know halachically, the roof is the ikar of the Ohel. Right? We've seen a few places that the roof is called the Ohel. Right? For Toma, right, it all depends on roof. Walls are Nogeah, but the ikar, whatever's under the roof, is Tameh, Tomas Ohel. In Sukkah, right, only the Schach has all the halachas of what it has to be. In the Mishkan, right, the walls are never called Ohel. The Ohel was the Uriel's Izim that went on top. So Rashi says the Ikar ben Ohel is the roof, and at least according to Rashi's Gersin, Erev and Daf Pei Vav, the Gemara never ever said that putting up stam walls temporarily is usher. So walls temporarily are always mutter, only a roof temporarily is usher as a gzeira atu ol kavua. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch starts out sounding like. Also, lasses all b'shabes yanta filu who arrives. Also, making all arrive midur abanan. V'dafke gag aval mechitzos mutter. Right, only a gag mechitzos are fine. But then he adds the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. The chaver is machbir like Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, according to one girsa, it's a mafurish gemara and irvin daf pivav. Although Rashi doesn't like that girsa. Rabbeinu Tam says, in irvin daf pivav, there was this case where they needed to get the Sefer Torah to Shul. And in those days, again, in those days, they didn't yet have this idea of making an Erev for cities. So they would bring the Sefer Torah to Shul before Shabbos, from like the safe, you know, the secure place. So they forgot to bring the Sefer Torah to Shul before Shabbos. So what they did was they took curtains and they held them out through the whole street from the place where the Sefer Torah was to Shul and carried it through. And they were asked, no, that's usher. You know how to make an Ohel on Shabbos. Okay, so we see even a wall could be considered usher. Not only that, Rashi just says that's not the gersa. The question was, how could they carry the sheets there? It was just around. Okay, there's a Gemara in, I think it's Sukkah, I'm not sure where the Gemara quotes is, but that says you're allowed to make the fourth wall of a Sukkah, but you're not allowed to build the third wall of a Sukkah. So we see building the third wall of a Sukkah is usher. It's even though it's an Ol Arai and it's just a wall, it's still usher. I think Rashi would say no, that's because there was also a roof. You know, but in any case, so Rashi could defend himself. He could say just a plain wall that's temporary, mechitza arai, always mutter. However, Rabbeinu Tam says no, it must be that a mechitza arai is sometimes mutter, sometimes usher. What's the sometimes? So he goes back to the Gemara about a sukkah. You're allowed to build the fourth wall, but not a third wall. Why? Says obviously it's because the fourth wall is halakhically irrelevant, right? A sukkah with three walls is kosher. The third wall is what makes the haloshem sukkah. It's matur the sukkah. It's machshir rather the sukkah. So Rabbeinu Tam comes up with this idea that a mechitzas arai, again, this is all for arai. A mechitzas arai, if it's a mechitza hamateris, this is sort of funny the way it sounds. A mechitza hamateris is usher. A mechitza, that's a stam mechitza, is mutter. Rashi points out this, he brings a writing out from one Gemara. The classic example they use for a mechitza that's not materis is tznius. A mechitza for tznius. With gestures, because there was a case in the Gemara when Shmuel put up a mechitza when breaking the wall, even though he held it wasn't necessary halachically to make it a reshus hayachid, just so that the neighbor wouldn't look at him. Tznius. Privacy. So, a mechitza hamateris, a mechitza that's a halachic halos matir, like the two examples in Shas, it makes a chalos sukkah, or it makes a chalos rosh hashayachid, right? Let's say you make the mechitza to make a chalos rosh hashayachid and close an area for carrying, or make a kosher sukkah. That's also to do even by arai. Because it's more chashivas, because it's actually accomplishing halach and chalos. A stam mechitza for my personal feelings, like tznius, whatever, I don't want my neighbor staring at me, so I put up a little curtain. A stam mechitza for tznius is perfectly fine.
Because
we weren't able because they were lost, so we put those things up?
Yeah.
They did make it.
So the, I think, I'm trying to remember the Mascana. I think the Mascana was that actually they did something slightly different, if I recall correctly. But you have to, the Mascana was that actually if they didn't do it, they just woke up in the morning and found the curtains there making a path to Shul. Some other unlearned Jew had done it, like, accidentally. No, I don't mean accidentally, I mean, like, out of ignorance. That's what the Gemara says, the Mascana, they didn't do it, they found that it had been done for them. And I guess since it was done to Shoge, so I mean, you have to figure out all the different reasons why.
It doesn't talk about a case where there's like a mitzvah on Friday night. If you could build like a temporary mechitza, then is that considered mechitza?
That's exactly what's going on in the Mechaber here. Yeah, that's in the Ramah. That's exactly what's going on in the Ramah right here. So Alfi Pashtus, we'll see. The Bir Halacha makes it a little more complicated. Alfi Pashtus, let's say. Even not a mitzvah's own. It doesn't matter if the mitzvah's own. I mean, if it's matar something, it doesn't have to be a mitzvah, even if it's matar or davar or shus. But let's say there's something which would prevent tashmish amita, of which I think there are only two options, a ner and a sefer. Right? I don't mean, that's what postman discuss. If there's a ner or a sefer over here, and there's a person over here who's interested in being mishamish mita, so then the wall that separates them would be a mechitza hamateres, and mutaka be usher to make even temporarily on Shabbos. Yeah, exactly. precisely. So, that's the basic principle. It says, ein mechitza asura, el kenasas lahatir sukkah, ol lahatir tiltol. You just have to, again, you have to just do me one favor, and please, please, please remember, all this tongue in a rye. Keva, you're not allowed to make a mechitza, you're not allowed to make a gag, you're not allowed to make any keva structure, or part of a structure. The Mishnah Berurah goes, you're not even allowed to add a little. Keva, that's real bona d'oraisa. We're talking within the realm of Arai, which is merely d'rabanan. The gag is aser, and the mechitza is always aser. The mechitza depends. If it's for make a halachic heter, then it's aser. If it's just for your personal reasons, then it's not as important. Your personal reasons do not have the same significance as accomplishing something halachic. And therefore we say, that's not a big deal, and it is mutter. Now, what's an example of mechitza amateres? And that's what a lot of this if is going to be about. What exactly do you draw the line between materis and non-materis? And that's, let's read the Ramah of a mechitza anasis l'tznias b'yal mashari. But if it just you want some privacy, that's much. That's what people do often here. Like these little curtains they put out for their Shabbos guests. You know, not everyone has such a big house that every guest gets like their own wing. Sometimes you have a little curtain for the Shabbos either. Some people, they just give you a corner of the living room with a little curtain, or there's like an area with a little curtain in the hallway. So those are just for tznias, perfectly okay. Now, before we continue, come back to this. We'll have to see what that means. You're allowed to put a curtain in your doorway, even though it's attached. You're allowed to put the baruchs in front of the Aron Kodesh. Of course, when you put the parochas by the Aron Kodesh, you have to be careful not to make it into a roof. Because in some of the ways they might have done the parochas is they would like put it on top of the Aron Kodesh and then let it hang down over the front. And if there was a little pole in front that it would cover, like make a roof out of it, then, or whatever the seed, actually, it's probably not a good, that would be a problem. Okay, but on our parochas nowadays, we never have this shash. They're always straight vertical. We'll come back to those lines. Right? Any personal reason. If you want to block the sun, if you want to block the cold, if you want to block the wind from putting out your candle, those are all much of reasons to make a mechitza arai. As Phil pointed out, if there's a candle and there's tashmish amita, which halachically are also be together unless the official mechitza between them, then that's awesome. Or likewise, if there's svarim, then you need a mechitza either if you want to have tashmish amita, you need a mechitza to separate the svarim, or if you want to just go to the bathroom, you also need a mechitza to separate you from the svarim. Unless, this is going to be the next sif, it was already a tefach from Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to add. Okay, let's say that for the next sif. So, before we get to the funny lines about the vilon and the parochas, what is considered mechitza materis and what is not? So, one of the classic questions, I say the word mechitza, what do people think of? Not lamdanim in Oshas.
A wall.
What do they think of shul, right? The men and the women. So what about a machitza between men and women in shul? So that's not 100% clear. The Mishnah Berurah here quotes that a machitza between the men and women in the drasha is just for tznius, and that's mutter, to make temporary machitza on Shabbos. That's just for tznius. Okay, but what about for davening? Is davening also just for tznius, or no? Davening, there's a whole, I mean, that's why we're Orthodox Jews. Because there's a whole issur to daven without a mechitza, and it's a magim binus daraisa according to Rav Moshe. Oh, it's a bit of a chiddush. And the mechitza is materit. So, this is unclear. Meaning, one thing is true, right? We're all Orthodox here. On a practical level, it's usur to daven without the mechitza. If you bring the mechitza, it would be mutter. Let's say we're in the base medrash here or something, and some women came to shul unexpectedly on Shabbos. I think usually we expect them, but you know it would be usher to daven with the women there. But if you roll out the mechitza, it's obviously a temporary mechitza, right? You're just rolling it and plopping down there, very temporary fashion. Then it would be mutter to daven. So is that a mechitza on a terrace? So everyone talks about this. I didn't get a chance to chazer everyone. But I saw in two svarim, the Yisode Halacha assumes that that's a mechitza materis, that's usher, it's mater davening. However, Rabbi Ribiat admits, he might get into trouble because that's the machlokes that's money of Ram, but Rabbi Ribiat says in a more lumdish sense, and I think the Minhag Olam is to be makel in this.
Okay. Even bringing it out would be a problem, or no? Putting it, like you said, like if.
Even wheeling it in.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's considered, right?
I think that's considered making a mechitza. It's like if you would move the mechitza to a certain place. I mean, it's a mechitza all along anyway. You're just moving the mechitza into this place. This is a little like the Chazon Ish's chiluk. That's a good question. The Chazon Ish does hold there's a chiluk between you just move things versus you actually spread them out. Can I prove it? Let's see. I can't prove it. Okay. But the Rabbi Ribiat says no. He says, and we'll get to this. This might be Machlok Zechron. He says, what's the idea of Mechitza Materis? So the Mechitza's Mater something. Why does that make it Asar on Shabbos? So he says, this isn't a Mechitza Materis. Mechitza Materis means there are two things that have to be in separate reshuyos. There are two things, they have to be in separate reshuyos. They're not allowed to be in the same reshus halachli. You need a reshus for this and a reshus for that. Therefore, since it's making halos reshus, like sukkah is a halos reshus reshayachid, or if you want tashrish and the ner, you need a hefzik reshuyos, when you're making halos reshus, a halos of a new room, halachli, a new house, it's like a new halachic house. That's the Esr Mechitza Materis. But in shul, you don't need the women to be in a different room from the men. You just a different reshus. Women are allowed to daven in the shul, and men are allowed to daven in the shul. You just need a hechi timsa that prevents kalos rosh. The purpose of a mechitza is not that women and men can't daven together. It's a hechi timsa to prevent kalos rosh. Now you might say this is like Akira. But I think many poets of the Rav certainly held this way. I think Rav Moshe also held this way, Lamaisa, that the need for the mechitza is not because you need separate reshuyos for men and separate reshuyos for women. The need for the mechitza is to prevent kalos rosh. And the old, just the hechitimtza of preventing halos rosh, is with the mechitza. If so, then Rabbi says, this mechitza is not materis. It's just a hechitimtza of preventing halos rosh, and the lack of halos rosh is what's mater. But it's not the mechitza that's mater, the mechitza just prevents halos rosh, or prevents potential halos rosh. So Rabbi therefore says it's mutter. I think the minhag olam is to be makel in this, although we'll have to see whether maybe only if you need to. I think the minhag olam is to be makel with this, that if you have to, you know, if you forgot to set up the mechitza, or for some reason you have to set up the mechitza on Shabbos and shul, that we would set up the mechitza on Shabbos and shul, and not consider mechitza materis, rather say the mechitza is just creating a certain atmosphere, and the atmosphere is mater.
I heard Shechter say once that Midrash Tanchuma brings down that a 5-amma separation between men and women is meikar adin, considered to be a mechitza.
Okay, which make a lot of sense. Right, in this lumbus. Right, the Rav that's something else. Yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
For example, the Aser, do something I love, the Aser is make a mechitza on a terrace in a shul. What about if there's, you have part of the mechitza, but it's not complete, and then I'm saying it's not halakhically committed. I'm saying you have part of it, then you add to it. And it's partially there, but then still.
That's, I think what you have to you see, it's a little funny, but the Mishnah Brewer says, the Brahma says right here, Im lo shahayim ve'od yom tefach, shaz motu lo hosvala b'shabbos. If it was one tefach ve'od yom, you're allowed to add. One tefach is not going to be matter of the tashma shavita and asi asrachim b'fnei asvarim. So l'chora, even if it was too small to accomplish the goal, you're allowed to add. As opposed to the sukkah, you can't.
You're making it materis, but it doesn't matter.
I think that's the case he's describing here also. You're making it materis.
Right,
unlike the sukkah, where there were two walls, there was no third wall at all. So if there's no third wall at all, then you can't make the third wall from scratch. But I what would come out, it's a little funny, but it seems what would come out is that if you had, let's say, two walls and a little part of a third wall, not enough to pull the whole trick, of a field of tefach, then maybe you can add to that. And that's what the Ramah seems to imply, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah takes it up partially. Even in the Kitzam Ateris, you're allowed to add to, and it sounds like you're allowed to add to it, even if it wasn't matter, until you added to it. Because all the Kitzam Ateris does is get you up to the level of a Gag. And you're allowed to add to a Gag, which is the next sif, so you're allowed to add to Mechitza Materis, so I think so.
Well, because what Josh was asking, why so could this taking a Mechitza out of a closet and putting a partition in a room is making a Mechitza in the first place? You're not making a Mechitza, you're just putting something in place. You're not putting a sheet over a room or a pool.
Right. No, I think that's still considered when you put something in place. That's still considered making it.
Gemara was talking about actually taking sheets that were clearly held up on their own, making sure they were held up on their own.
One case of the Gemara, but other cases of the Gemara, I don't know about the Mechitza Materis cases, but at least the God cases of the Gemara, many of those are just putting something somewhere. Although maybe you can mechalek that a Gag is not a Gag till you put it up. A Mechitza is always a Mechitza. Meaning, is there any proof that if the Mechitza was standing, you're not allowed to wheel it around? You're not making any. Now, some shuls have mechitzas where you have to make them, right? I mean, not usually like kavua shuls, but let's say some minyanim, the mechitzas is portable, and it mamish comes apart. But assuming that you have these, is there a proof that, let's say, you have the mechitzas and you just move it into place? Like, what about a sukkah? What if you had these same things and you move them into place to make a sukkah? So your mischach was already there.
Now you're making the mechitzas.
Materis, but maybe that's okay because you're not really making it. Is what Zev is suggesting.
You still are making it. I mean, the wall was somewhere else, and the sukkah was not a sukkah, and then you put the wall next to the sukkah, and you created a mechitza materis.
Yeah, my my gut feeling is like Hillel, unlike Zev, but I don't have proof. Okay, so that's one question. Is a mechitza shul mechitza materis? Seems to be machlo, because I think the minhag is that people are makel if they need to. We'll see a parallel to that in a second. The other issue that comes up is the Magen Avraham's problem that he really quotes from the Dark Emotion. There's a Gemara in Beit Yitzchak Beis, which says, what it's really interested in is, are you allowed to, there's a whole sugya there, are you allowed to do kiboy and yantif for all kinds of various reasons? Right, so there, are you allowed to kiba and yantif to prevent your house from getting full of smoke? To prevent, you know, are you allowed to do kiba and yantif for tashrus amita? Right, you have an air in your house, you want to be mishamish mitaso, so are you allowed to be mechab in an air? The Gemara goes through a whole, the Gemara first wants to sort of figure out, is it absolutely necessary? The Gemara says, why don't you just make a mechitza? Right, the Gemara says, well, what do you mean, kiba and air? Make a mechitza, and then you're fine. Make a mechitza in between the nair and you. So the Gemara seems to basically be saying, that is mutter to make a mechitza between the Nair and Tashrus Amita and Yantif.
That's the problem with Nair. By Tashrus Amita, it's not the other iser of seeing the makor.
Well, you see, this gets complicated. Again, we're not doing what's the Hilchos Nias now, Simon Reish Mem, but I think that the poskim there basically assume that there's a sort of a formal aspect and a practical aspect of light. The formal aspect of that is there's a nir, you need a formal divider of an official 10 tefach mechitza, you know, like the regular rules of mechitza. Over and above that, there may be a practical problem that you shouldn't have light, but that you can solve by just putting a sheet over your head, right? And then you won't see the light. but there's a seems to be a forget about the practical issue, forget about whether you can see or not. There's a formal issue that you can't be bifnei haner. You know, over and above, right? The way we paskin at least, over and above the question of whether you see or whether you are, or whether you don't see. It just can't be bifnei haner, and therefore you need a formal partition. Well, perhaps. Now, if what if you make a formal partition that's 10 tefachim and you still have tons and tons of light? Okay, that's a separate issue. Look at some Reish Mem, and they'll give you some advice. But you need this formal partition. Okay. So in Beitzah, the Gemara says you should make a machitza with Ne'aner. And right here we just said it's a machitza materis, even a rye, and it's also to make with Ne'aner. So what do we do with it? So this is the truth is, if you look in Hilchos Yontif, there's a... if you look in Hilchos Yontif, then there's a whole discussion of that. But how do we answer that? If a machitza materis is usher, why are you allowed to make a machitza and beitza b'fnei aner? So the Magen Avraham has a chiddush here. The Magen Avraham says, hold on a second. There's actually two things you could do with a ner or sfarim if you want to be mishamish mitasa, or with sfarim if you want to be osek tzrachav. Number one, you can make a machitza. What's the other thing you could do? You could cover them. And, right? Let's say at sfarim. Let's take the sfarim and tashmish mitasa. Right? I have a sefer. I have a a sefer Torah lying there. Right? I want to be mishamish mitasa. So, I don't have to build a machitza. I could just cover it. So, with a ner, but I just cover the ner and the light is totally blocked. That would be fine. Or with a sefer, I have to cleave it up. Cleave it, double covering. But I could cover it. Now, covering it would be much. That's not any type of mechitza or ohel. That's just a cover. Right? Everyone agrees. You can't deny. Right here. Here's my sefer. And I want to be Yolse Tzrachov and Shamash Mitaso. So what do? I just take one bag and put it all in one bag. And I take another bag or whatever. I have a box. And of course that's... Why should that be Asar and Shabbos? That has nothing to do with an ohel, right? It's not a Tzur's ohel at all. So, but the Gemara in Beitza says you're allowed to make a mechitza. So the Magen Avraham is Lundish here, and he says they didn't mean a mechitza betoras mechitza. They meant a mechitza betoras kisoy. What does that mean? He says there are two ways to make a mechitza. Each way has one thing hard down, something easy. What if I want to make a mechitza betoras mechitza? I have a bookshelf full of svarim. I want to make mechitza b'toras mechitza. So it's very easy, because how tall does it have to be? Only 10 tefachim. Even though I'm looking at the svarim, 10 tefachim is good enough. Right? Even though I can see the top shelf. What's hard, then it has to be only Baruch Matsuya, right? It has to be a strong, secure... Yeah, it's so strong. At least only Baruch Matsuya. Right? So that's a formal mechitza route. There's like a kula, I only have to make 10 tefachim. I and a chomer, it has to be only Baruch Matsuya. There's another route I could take. I could just do a kisoy, mechitza b'toras kisoy root, which means that I just take something really, really tall, cover the entire bookshelf, right? Let's say with a sheet, cover the entire bookshelf, and then I have to cover every single sefer. But it doesn't have to be only Baruch Matsuya, so it doesn't have to have any of the rules of mechitza, because that's not b'toras mechitza, that's b'toras kisoy, right? So, what the Magen Avraham suggests is that when the Gemara in Beitza said, so first of all, I should skip this. Okay. What the Magen Avraham suggests is when the Gemara in Beitza said you're allowed to make a mechitza on Yontif, they they didn't mean mechitza b'toras mechitza. They meant mechitza b'toras kisoy, meaning not a mechitza that was just ten tefachim in a formal sense, but a mechitza that actually covered it entirely so that I couldn't see the light of the nair at all. Not so I couldn't see the nair, I couldn't see the light of the nair at all. I couldn't see the svarim at all, and svarim would require double kisoy. So even though it's a mechitza, it's not a mechitza hamateres, because the heter comes from the kisoy. From b'toras kisoy, not from b'toras mechitza. So that's the chiddush of the Magen Avraham here. So the chiddush of the Magen Avraham is that it's okay to have a mechitza that's mater b'toras kisoy, as long as it's not mater b'toras mechitza.
Just related, does that mean that the sheet has to be opaque?
You mean for, one second. Not not 100% sure. I'm not 100% because the Mar does say, I mean, what it says before Shin Shas is that at least if you want to say brachos in front of Tzoa, then you're allowed to have a see-through covering. For Tzoa to say brachos, it's okay to have a see-through covering. So it says v'shavta v'chisisa se'asach as long as it's mechusa, even though you could see it, because it doesn't say lo yirah b'char. That's only by Ervin. So I'm not sure in this case. It's a good question. You know, it seems that it might be parallel, and you might say it could even be see-through. Not sure. What? Yeah, maybe it would be parallel, but I'm not sure. You have to. Right, for the Nera, I'm working off the assumption that it would have to be. Yeah, because for a Nera, the cover has to actually block the light.
That's just a formal halacha.
No, but Kisoy is not a formal halacha. Right. If you're doing Bitaris Kisoy, then it has to actually block the light, mamash. Okay, so that's the Chiddush of the Magen Avraham. However, there are, without getting into the Taz, the Taz and Hilchos Yom Tov, not here. There are two other ways of answering this question. One more machmir, and one more makel. The one more machmir and one more makel. The Darkei Moshe, and there's also a Taz on this. the Taz actually says that Zivinu Yom Tov and Shabbos, which the other Achron don't like at all. He says, oh, it's a Heter on Yom Tov. Because it's, you know, Tzarchei Aguf, and okay, that's very chance, we're not going to deal with this now. Let's stick with people who don't bring in Yontif. The Darkei Moshe says, it's a little dachuk, and the Magen Avraham says that can't be pshat. Darkei Moshe says, really, it's always us to build a mechitza. What are they going to bait the dachuk? Bays mean make a mechitza? They meant make a mechitza on Friday. Actually, not Friday, Erev Yontif. They mean make a mechitza beforehand. And again, the Magen Avraham points out, that's why Rishon don't sound that way. But, okay, so the Darkei Moshe was machri, he says, the only heter is to make a mechitza on Erev Yontif. There's no heter at all. The Magen Avraham says it's also to make a mechitza b'toras mechitza, but it's mutter to make a mechitza materis b'toras kisoy. And again, I think that's similar to what Rabbi had said about the mechitza and shul. It's not b'toras mechitza that's mutter, it's b'toras, you know, no kalas rosh. The Chayi Adam, he quotes in the Bir Halacha, is super mekel, and he says that the Mishabur only really brings this Chayi Adam in, he only says in desperate cases, but he wants to bring a svara that maybe Tash v'shavit ner and svarim and Tash v'mit and srochav is not considered a mechitza, is always wanted to make a mechitza. Maybe the whole concept of the mechitza materis doesn't apply to them. Why? Because since you could do a kisoy, and you don't need a mechitza to be mater, it's automatically not a mechitza materis, even the Torah's mechitza. Because mechitza materis is only if it was the only way to be mater. But since here there were different options to be mater, maybe that's not a mechitza materis. So we have three shittas. The Darkei Moshe says that it's always usher to make any mechitza for Tash Shemita, and the Gemara Beitza meant make it before Yontif. The Magen Avraham says in the middle. A mechitza b'toras mechitza is aser, but a mechitza b'toras kisoy, even though it's also mechitza, is mutter. The Chayi Adam, he doesn't pass on this in all most cases, but he thinks b'svara, that no, he's l'hemeto l'gam. He says, it's always mutter to make a mechitza for tash d'amita. Because that's not considered materis, because you had another option also. If you had another option, then it's not a mechitza materis. Mechitza materis is if it was absolutely necessary. Halach l'maisa, we're mechri and all these things. The Mishabura says, the Magen Avraham, and then you have the Taz, Mechalik and Shabbos and Yontif. It says Shabbos also Yontif Mutter, and that's how he answers the Stira. So the Mishnah Berurah says that probably the Magen Avraham is right, but maybe the Darkei Moshe and others are right. So he says, ideally, you shouldn't make a mechitza at all. If you need to, Shas HaTzorich, you can make a mechitza with Torah's Kisoy like the Magen Avraham. And then the Bir Halachi quotes, Chayi Adam says, if it's exceedingly desperate case. I don't know if we can go into this on the internet, but a case where would lead to Shechazer al-Batala if you didn't have a solution to this, then he thinks you could even rely on the most makel opinion and even build a mechitza mamish if that was your only option, if the alternative is so dire. So all these shitas sort of come out in Mahalacha. The Mishnah Berurah says, ideally, you know, sort of l'chachila, l'chachila, don't rely on anything. Just don't make the mechitza on Shabbos if it's not necessary. But b'shas l'chak, if you're stuck, then you can rely on the Magen Avraham and make a mechitza b'toras kisui. And in the Bialachim, if it's exceedingly dire circumstances, then you know it, the other options are terrible enough. Then maybe it could even be Mekel. And he quotes a few Rishonim that we think are mashed that way to make a Mechitza entirely. We assume the Katz of Mechitza Maitar is limited to Sukkah and Erevin and doesn't apply to these things at all because you had other options. Okay, we'll have to finish this. We'll see if we can finish this on a Thursday and we'll be in good shape. But if not, then we'll have to... okay, Monday, fine. One brief part in the Parsha. The beginning of the Parsha, as we well know, Rashi asks the classic question, Ma Inyan Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai? And Rashi gives an answer, which doesn't actually answer the question. It does halachically, right, to teach you just like Shemitah is Misinai, all the mitzvahs are Misinai. Which, of course, begs the question, okay, well then, it could have been anything that teaches us all the mitzvahs are Misinai. So, last year, I think I spoke about it at length, and I gave one approach. But this year, I'll give a much shorter approach. The Sfas Emes is a very interesting idea. What's the connection of Shemitah and Har Sinai? He says, what's Shemitah all about? Right, it brings everyone together, it equalizes everyone. Right, there's no rich people who have food and other people who don't, and this is my property, etc. No, we're all equal, we all eat the same. What's it like Yovel? What is Yovel about? Right, there's no slaves, and there's no masters, no people with land, there's no people that way. In the old days, only people with land could vote, etc. You know, no, we're all equal, we're all together in this Klal Yisrael. What does that have to do with Har Sinai? So he points out that ultimately Kabbalas HaTorah can't come from a fractured Klal Yisrael where I'm better than you and there are people who are the upper class and people who are the lower class and everyone thinks they're better than everyone else. If you go that direction, you'll never have Kabbalas HaTorah. To have Har Sinai, you need Ke'ish Echad, B'Lev Echad, you need all the Jews to be united. So therefore, Shemitah and Yovel, whose purpose is to unite the Jewish people, make us all equals and all in this together on the same wavelength and bring Achdus, belongs to Har Sinai, because that's the only way that we can be Zochet to his conscious of Kabbalas HaTorah. Shabbat Shalom. Yes.
An interesting sound.
I heard actually someone just one second said an interesting drop, which is very far from Shabbat. They said, the Gemara says, "Lomitna the mitzvos elul mitzarif b'hinas abrios." So maybe tsarif, like mitzarif, it's the mitzvos bring us all together in the achdus, which is again not the simple Shabbat. But it's a nice word. That's not from the Sfas Emes. That's from Josh Hoffman.